Amen. Are you excited to be here today? I'm going to ask you that again. Are you excited to be here today? Amen. Amen. I am so excited to be here. I'm excited for every opportunity that I have to stand before this great church called Connect Church and bring God's word. I'm just always honored. I'm always humbled that you guys have received me. And I just thank God for such a wonderful church to be connected to. I couldn't think of any other church that I would want to be connected to than Connect Church. Amen? Amen. Amen. I mean, it's just a great group of people. I am telling you. I'm just so excited what God has done, what God is doing, how he brought both of our churches together to make one church. And it's just so apropos with where we're going in this scripture today. So as you all know, we are in a sermon series called Proximity. We are studying the book of Ephesians. And so if you can, go ahead and turn to chapter 2. Last week, Pastor Jay talked to us about how we were once dead in our sins and in our trespasses, but because of God, we are now alive in Christ. And so I want to continue on that. So we're going to pick up at verse 11. And so today, in this sermon series called Proximity, today's sermon title is this, and please write this down. It's very simple. The title of our sermon today is The Power of One. The power of one. And so if you have Ephesians 2, if we can, let's stand and honor God in the reading of his word. And I'm going to read verses 11, 12, I'm just going to read 11 and 12 to get us started. And we're going to try to get through the rest of chapter 2 if we can. So if you have it, say, I have it. If you don't have it, say, hold up. There's no hold up in the house. All right, so let's get started. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. I am going to read from the NASB. It says this. It says, therefore, underline this next word, remember, that formerly you Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Verse 12 says this, and here's this word again. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of the promise. You have no hope, and you were without God in the world. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to the throne of grace today. We just thank you, God, for this opportunity that we have to fellowship around your word. Thank you, God, for assembling such a great group of people, God, who are hungry and thirsting after you. I pray, God, that this word today falls on the good soils of our heart, not on the stony places, not on the rocky places, but God, it falls on the good soils of our heart, and it brings back a harvest, God. God, I pray that as we study this book of Ephesians, God, that we come to understand, God, our possessions, and we start to understand the position that we have in Christ Jesus. And so, God, I just thank you. And God, I ask you, God, that as I stand here today before these, your people, God, I just want you to do one thing. God, I want you to wear me like a glove. Use me, God, for the very intents and purposes that you created me for, and that is to make your name great. And so, God, I just thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Let everybody say amen. Amen. You can be seated. There is something about the ability to remember. The ability to remember allows you to not to forget important mile markers in your life. When I think about the power to remember, I think about the two sons that we have. We intentionally named our sons for a specific purpose. And we wanted our two sons to have names that they could live up to that represented who God said that they were, and it represented their culture, and it represented their character. And so my first son, born on August 6th of 1996, and just so happened he's here with us today, is Aleem Tariq Bakari II, my first son. Man, and Aleem means wise man of learning. Tariq means brave and courageous. And Bakari means of noble promise. Then I have my second son, Taj Malik Bakari. Taj means crown, Malik means prince, and Bakari means of noble promise. Every now and then, when my kids were young and in school, and even as they aged, and even I'm still finding that I'm having to remind them and bring back to their remembrance what their name means. And so when they were in school, and sometimes they would come home and have homework, and they would say, "Man, this is too hard. I can't do this, or I can't accomplish this," I would sit them down at the table, and I would look them straight in their eyes, and I would tell them that your name says that you are a wise man of learning. That means that you can learn anything that you put your mind to. I would tell Taj, you are a crown prince. That means that you are special, that you are set aside. So that means that you can do and become anything that you want to become, because your name says that you are a crown prince of noble promise. But every now and then, some of us are the same way. We have to be reminded of who we are in Christ. You see, some of us, when life gets hard, we forget who we're connected to. We forget who we're in proximity to. We forget who we are connected to. We forget that Jesus Christ purchased us with his blood. We forget what Christ did on the cross. And sometimes we have to be reminded of who we are in Christ. And so Paul, in this book of Ephesians, as he writes this letter from a jail cell, Paul starts to pen this heartfelt, encouraging letter to the church at Ephesus. And he writes it's filled with emotion, but Paul emphatically commands them to do this one thing. Paul commands them in verse 11. Paul commands them to do one thing. Paul says, "I want you to remember." Verse 11 says this. It says, "Therefore, remember that formerly you Gentiles." And see, what we have to understand is when Paul is speaking to the Gentiles at Ephesus, he's speaking to all of us here who are of a non-Jewish tradition. He says, "I want you to remember," and not that I want you to go back, but he says, "I want you to remember," so that it can cause you to be humble and to be grateful. And so he says this, he says, "Remember that formerly you Gentiles in the flesh," he says, "you were called uncircumcision by the circumcision." And so here it is, this church at Ephesus is going through a conflict, and as Paul pins this, it had to be a scenario of Jews versus Gentiles. And Paul is reminding them that you were formerly uncircumcised and you didn't have no way in. He says in verse 11, he says, this circumcision was a source of pride for the Jews. Circumcision was a visible sign of a historic relationship with God. It was either you were Jew or not. And you know how we do sometimes when we have a perceived advantage over someone else. I know that nobody does this here, but when we have a perceived advantage or we have a special connection, sometimes we are quick to remind people that I'm a Jew and you're not. And that's what the Jews were doing to the Gentiles who had started to come over and had started to follow Christ. They were still throwing it up in their face that you are not a Jew. Verse 12, Paul says, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ. See, we go through this same scenario today in that sometimes if you've been following Christ for any length of time, sometimes we tend to forget that we used to be something. Anybody here remember that you used to be? Huh? And I'll let you fill in the blank, because see, I can't fill in the blank for you, but I can fill it in for me, because see, I used to be an alcoholic. That's what I'm going to fill in right there. I used to smoke 2 packs of Newports a day. But see, we tend to forget because now we're on this side of salvation. God has cleaned us up. God has picked us up. God has washed us off. God has changed the very essence of who we are. And then sometimes we want to look down our nose at somebody that hasn't gotten as far as God has progressed us. And please don't get a good job and stay in a certain zip code. Oh my God, today. Well, you know, I live in, let's see, I don't want to say an actual subdivision. So I live in historic Enchanted Forest beside the pond. Oh, you live over there? Oh my God. Yeah, you know. My husband and I, you know, it's okay. I mean, but Paul is telling these Gentiles, he said, remember that you were separated from me. He says, not only were you separated, he says, but you was excluded. So it's not just you were separate, it's like you couldn't even get to me if you tried. He says, not only were you separated, excluded, but catch this, he says that you were strangers to me. Who are you? This is where we all were prior to us raising our hand and accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But then not only did Paul say that they were separated, excluded, strangers, please understand this, Paul says that the Gentiles, as Gentiles, we were without hope. Have you ever lived a life without hope? Man, hope. When you take a person's hope away, when a person lives without hope, that means I don't know what I'm facing. But I know it's going to be more of the same thing that I'm facing now. Paul told them that they were without hope. And not only did he say they were without hope, he says this, he says, you were without God. So can I tell you this, what Paul was telling the Gentiles then and that I'm telling us now, is that at one point we were one lost people. We were lost, without hope, separated, excluded, strangers, aliens, without hope and without God. So how can you even begin to even think that you are more than somebody else? Because all of us, the text didn't say some of us, the text says all of us were without God and without hope. So I'm telling you today that we were one lost people. But I'm so glad that God didn't leave us lost. Anybody here happy that God did not leave us lost? Anybody glad about being that God came in and cleaned you up and changed your whole life? Aren't you glad that God chased after you? I love that song that says that he chases after me, that he won't give up on me. Verse 13. And I love the Bible. I love reading the Bible. Because verse 13, because see, if you read verse 11 and 12, it sounds as if you are stuck in a bad situation. If you read verse 11 and 12, it seemed like, man, I'm in a dire situation. But if you keep on reading, I like what the old folks used to say. They used to say, just keep on living. Well, I'm going to tell you, don't stop at verse 12. Keep on reading, and let's get to verse 13. Verse 13 says, but now. Now, is there anybody here that's glad that verse 13 is in there? Because it means that after all that he done told me, I was separated, excluded, strangers and all that, verse 13 says, but now. Verse 13 says, but now in Christ. Anybody glad that you're in Christ today? He says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off, anybody here ever been felt like you've been far off? Man, I'll share this with you. When I graduated high school in 1982 in May, I caught the first thing smoking in July to Orlando, Florida to join the Navy. And I caught the first thing smoking because I wanted to get far off. I wanted to get far away as I could. And man, I was trying to get far away from God also, because see, I was raised up in a church. And I was raised in a church to where we had to go to church Tuesday night, Thursday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night, Sunday morning, and Sunday night. That's what I said. I said, whew. I said, oh my God, can I get out of here? Soon as I turned 18 and graduated high school, I got to stepping, trying to get far away. But this text says that I was far, that we were far off, but the text says that Christ brought us near. Anybody here glad that Christ brought you near? Because see, not only were we at one time one lost people, but here's the thing I want you to catch in this, is that in Christ, he created one new man. Any new men in here? Any new, and I'm saying that not gender specific. Anybody here been made new because of Christ? Because verse 13 through 15, it says this, it says that we've been reconciled to God. He created one new man to reconcile back to God. Because we were separated, excluded, alienated, strangers and all that, we were far off. But when Christ's work on the cross, it brought the people that were far away, it brought us near to Christ. We've been reconciled. That's actually an accounting term. Anybody ever work in bank reconciliation? That means you're fixing and you're correcting and you're checking things to make sure that they're right. Well, what Christ's work on the cross did was it corrected us being separated. It fixed the problem that we were excluded, that we were strangers, that we were without hope. Verse 13 and 14 teaches us that we've been reconciled back to God. Because there was this sin gulf that separated us, because God is a holy and perfect God. And because of the fall, we were this sinful, evil people, and God can have no fellowship with the light of God, can't have any fellowship with the darkness of man. But Jesus Christ was a bridge from where we were to where God was calling us to. And so Jesus' work did was it means that he brought us back together. Those of us who were far off were brought near. So not only were we one lost people, but we are one new man. But see, that would be good if that was just about you. But what Paul is telling this Ephesian church, he says that you were lost, you were reconciled to God, but there was still this division. There was this division between Jew and Gentile. Just like there's this division today between races. You name the race, and they're divided with some other race. There's this division along all kinds of lines, religiously, politically. There's all of this division. But in verse 15, Paul says this. He says, let's go back up to verse 14. It says, for he himself is our peace, catch this, who made both groups into one and broke down barriers of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Why? So that in himself he might make two into one new man, thus establishing peace. Verse 16 says, and might reconcile them both in one body to God. How? Through the cross. By having it put to death, the enmity. And he came and he preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. Verse 18 says this. It says, for through him we both now have access, catch this, in one spirit to the Father. Paul is reminding the church at Ephesus that there is no reason to be divided, because we're all one in Christ. A Jew doesn't have to become a Gentile, and a Gentile doesn't have to become a Jew to get to Christ. Now we all have access through Jesus Christ. And that's the good news. That's still good news today is that no matter what race or culture we come from, we're all one in Christ. that God created, God had this grand plan to create one new man, and he had this grand plan to create one new body. The divided now becomes united with Christ. Jesus Christ broke down barriers. Jesus Christ created a peaceful environment to now where we not only have a vertical peace, but we have horizontal peace now. But see, he broke down barriers, but we want to build up barriers of our own. Can I ask you this? What mental barriers are you building to keep you separate that has already been destroyed? Is it cultural? Is it political? Is it financial? Is it color? Because the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ, with his work on the cross, broke all the restrictions that they were for us to now come together. But are you resurrecting your own walls? Well, you know, I don't like her because. I don't like him because. Well, you know, has anybody ever seen the commercial? I think it's for AT&T. What is it called? U-verse. And there's this family whose child is telling them, hey, I'm about to go over to Susan's house, and I'm going to go over there and play with Susan. They like, oh, no, you can't go over to Susan's house. They have cable. You can't associate with people that have cable. And I see that, and I think about the silliness of that. Think about the silliness that we say that, man, I can't associate with this person because. Well, you know, they live on, they're from. Well, you do know that they have a past. And why do we do this as Christians? This is the way Christians gossip, and this is how we kind of point out different things to people that we really are trying to be on the cool. We're trying to throw dirt, or I'm gonna say it a different way. We're throwing shade. All right, and so we'll say, well, you do know that. Do you know her past? Well, I'm not gossiping, but you might want to. I mean, I think she used to be on drugs, I think. He used to be an alcoholic. Is he black or white? What is he? But see, these are the barriers, these are the walls that we build up. But the Bible teaches us that as a believer, Christ tore down all the barriers. But then we want to erect our own. And then it says that we have peace, that Christ is our peace. We've been reconciled. And as a body of believers, we have access to God through one Spirit. And so I just want to ask you this question. What would it look like if you lived like a new man? What if you lived like the new person that God created you to be? What would your life look like if you no longer believe the lie that you didn't have any hope? What would it look like if you really embraced being a new man in Christ Jesus? And once you wrap your mind around that, think about this. Can you imagine what this church would look like if we walked together and no longer separate? I know what you're saying. I come to church and I sit beside somebody that don't look like me. I even shake their hand. I even speak to them. I even smile at them at church. But what would happen instead of doing it for an hour that you made a new life of it? That you really embraced the diversity that this church has. I was looking at the internet the other day, and man, it just blessed my heart. I'm on the internet, I'm on Facebook, and I'm on our Facebook page, and I see a post. There's Stacy on a post with the kids. And then there's a post of me when I preached the week before. Then there's a picture of someone else. I believe it was Jared and the youth. And then there was a picture of Jay. And I was just like, man, our church is just really, I mean, it's really a diverse church. Man, it's really a great thing if we could just really embrace this. It starts here, but then it starts to spread out there. What would connect look like if we really embrace that? And not just on Sundays, but every day of our life. What would it look like if we no longer lived separate? What would it look like if you introduced yourself to two of your neighbors, just the two just on either side of you? What would that look like? What kind of effect would it have? But see, here's the thing. Everybody keeps saying, well, when are we? But I'm going to ask you this. When are you? When are you? And so, as I close, I just want to leave you with this one thing. God's grace gives us life, and it connects us with Him, and it connects us with others, making us one with Him and one with others. We are one. We're all the same. We're one in Christ. Different colors, different backgrounds, different ages, different stages. But we're one in Christ. And when you encounter another brother or another sister, the Bible teaches us that that's a special relationship. And it's not based on where you go to church. It's based on your connection to Christ. And so I just pray that as God has done something really special here at Connect Church, I pray that we don't take this lightly, that we really embrace what God is doing, that this could be a seed of something bigger to come. What part do you want to play in that? Do you just want to be a spectator? Or do you want to participate? Be an active member in this new people that God has created called the church. Everybody wants to point the finger at the church, but nobody wants to be the church. And so I just pray that God touches your heart, that from this day forward, that you no longer just come to church, but you be the special, peculiar, set aside people, that's God's seed in this earth, to make his name great. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I never take it for granted that everyone here today is a believer or have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If that's you today, with every head bowed, every eye closed, the believers are praying because this is the most crucial time in a service. If you're here and you know that you are lost, that you are without hope, that you're separated from Christ, that you are alienated, and you've come to understand that you are, and you know that you don't have hope, but you're looking for hope, I want to share with you today Jesus Christ. There is no more hope than our hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And so if that's you, all I simply want you to do at this time, I just want you to just shoot your hand up in the air. I see your hand. There may be someone here today that you are a believer, but you feel disconnected. You feel disjointed because you felt like you didn't have to come and commune and fellowship with other believers. You've been trying to be the Lone Ranger Christian. If that's you, I want to pray for you today. Shoot your hand up in the air. No one's looking. Everyone's praying. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. This next group of people I want to pray for, if you've been coming to Connect, this is your second, third, or fourth time, and you want to be associated, you want to be affiliated, you want to be a part of something great that God is doing, I want you to raise your hand if you want to partner with us so that we can be this seed that's going to cause a change in this area and in this world. If that's you and you want to be a member of a partner with Connect Church, simply raise your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to the throne of grace today. We just thank you, God. Thank you for this word, God. Thank you for the hearts of your people. God, as we remember, God, not going back to the past, but we look back, God, so that we can always remain humble and we can remember, God, so that we can be grateful. So, God, I just thank you for the hands that was raised, God. Those that was raised, God, that are believers, that feel disconnected and disjointed, God, I pray, God, that you surround them, God, with a group of believers, God, that so passionately, God, infuse them with why it's good to be in fellowship with one another. God, I pray, God, that they value and understand that as a believer, it's all about relationships. It's our relationship with you first, but God, it's our relationship with others second. And so, God, I just pray, God, that they begin to embrace, God, the goodness that people have in this church, God. And, God, I pray for the hands, God, that was raised, God, that want to become a member, want to become a partner. God, I pray that as they become partners with us here at Connect, I pray, God, that you give us the wisdom, the guidance, God, and the direction, God, on how to best disciple them and to grow them, God. Lord, give us the wisdom and the strength, God, to wrap our arms around them, God, to help walk them through, God, this thing called Christianity. God, I pray that we walk with them, God, hand in hand. I pray, God, that as your word says, God, that we carry each other's burdens. And so, God, I just thank you for all that you're doing, God. Thank you, God. So as the praise team sings, I want us to stand. And as we stand, I want us to just take some time to just meditate and reflect and let this word just germinate in our hearts. And so I just give you praise, glory, and honor, God. In Jesus' name we pray.